It's 10:36. CFRA Live is the show. Good morning. I'm Matt Harris. In a few minutes, we'll hear from the Public Safety Minister, Bill Blair. He spoke this morning with some new developments on all of these blockades. Still no real sign that there's an end in sight, but there were at least some developments of note. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But before we get to that, I mean, the blockades started, you know, we've talked about it on the show a couple of times. It started as more, okay, well, this is blocks some via traffic between Ottawa and Toronto. Inconvenient if you're trying to get out of the city or you're trying to get to Toronto. I had a couple of friends who had weekends planned and they had to cancel it, right? And you kind of think, okay, then we'll figure this out in a day or two. And a day or two turned into a week, turned into now almost two. And now we're seeing, you know, the CN rail lines being shut down across the country as well. Now you start really worrying about the economic impact of this. And no one would know that better than Moshe Lander, economics professor at Concordia University in Montreal. He's on the line right now. Thanks for making time for us today. Appreciate that.
My pleasure.
So is there a time frame in your mind where this is where we really get into panic mode, or are we already there?
I mean, I think we're getting close. There was already kind of enough uncertainty in the Canadian economy to kind of make us a little bit twitchy in the first place. But, you know, now that this is heading into its second week, I recently heard one of the Mohawk leaders say that they have 200 years of grievances built up. And we're complaining about 2 weeks of disruption. So if that's kind of the mentality that's leading to these blockades, then we could be in for a long haul here. And, you know, once businesses start running out of inventory and they can't ship goods across the country, then there's going to be problems. We're already seeing layoffs start now, and, you know, this could continue well into the springtime.
Are the layoffs a big part of the economic impact? Now, I'm thinking, okay, these layoffs, but they're going to be temporary, right? So as soon as the trains start moving, you would assume a lot of those people would get back to work. So there's that part of it. And then there's what you talked about with the shortages potentially and prices being driven up. Which one of those two are of a bigger concern to you right now, or maybe they're both equal?
Well, you're right. The layoffs are going to be temporary as far as they go with VIA or with CN. The issue is that if this drags into the spring, then you could start to see actual Canadian businesses start to lay off workers because their businesses are going to become unprofitable. They're going to have a difficult time. They're going to have uncertainty. And that's when the real kind of economic consequences of job losses could start to add up. In the meantime, running out of inventory, you know, at what point do we start to see that spill over onto empty shelves and higher prices for the remaining goods that are on the shelves? That could come sooner rather than later. If this continues on into, say, March, April, if they're incentivized to blockade the rail when it's minus 10 outside, what's going to be their incentive when it's plus 10 or plus 15 and it's a lot nicer outside?
And that's not something we think about as consumers a lot. I don't know. I definitely don't, right? You go to the store, you see the shelves are stocked. A lot of us, when we're just buying our groceries or whatever it might be, we're not questioning how things got there. So how short is the supply chain in that, you know, when you get these kind of delays, how fast till we start seeing those shortages?
Well, you know what? We've built those long supply chains of, you know, stretching all the way into Asia. And so coronavirus, it was the thing that we thought was going to be kind of the disruption with shipments coming in and out of China. But now that it's actually happening here domestically, you know, businesses aren't carrying more than a couple of weeks of inventory, a month's worth of inventory. And, you know, it's what do consumers start to do in response as well? If they start to feel that, hey, those goods might not be there in a week or two, does that incentivize them to shift their purchases forward so that they can get their hands on it? So it could almost become a self-fulfilling prophecy that while businesses themselves have to worry about that short supply chain, do consumers exacerbate the problem by, you know, panicking and running out and buying because there is no end in sight?
Have we already seen issues on the stock market because of this, or has that so far been not an issue?
It's muted for now, right? It's still hoping that, you know, cooler heads will prevail. I know you said the public safety minister made an announcement this morning about, you know, the RCMP and hopefully trying to kind of downshift the blockades to something a little less threatening. But, you know, once we start getting into that period of layoffs and shortages and supply chain disruptions, then the stock market's going to respond, and it's not going to be a generally positive response.
No, and I mean, we're at that time right now where if we don't get a solution fast, we're going to start dealing with these issues. But when you look around, it doesn't seem like there's going to be an end to this anytime soon, right? I mean, nothing that I'm seeing tells me that this will be over within the day or the week. And then you start to get a bit nervous about how long is this really going to go?
Absolutely. And you know what the problem is, that if this does lead to negotiations, then you've handed not just the various indigenous groups, but pretty much anybody who has a grievance in Canada, a playbook for how to get the federal government to the bargaining table. So, you know, where this started as a pipeline issue, hey, there's no shortage of things that you can complain about in Canada. You might even complain about the current state of the minority government. So does this lead to a playbook where we say, all right, if we want to get the attention of politicians, then what we need to do is start blockading rail lines, disrupting traffic flow, blocking airports or any other sort of major infrastructure, power outages. So, you know, it's more than just how long does this last. It's that could this now be the template for further disruptions? And at that point, then businesses have a very difficult time making long-term decisions and long-term investments in this country when they feel that, okay, the government will give in to this type of response and this type of tactic. That's when it can really start to spill over into something much more consequential over a much longer time frame.
Moshe Lander's on the line, an economics professor at Concordia University in Montreal. So is there a specific sector in our economy that would feel the pinch of this faster than others if there, you know, you get rail disruption? I know the farming industry with the lack of propane or a potential shortage of propane comes to mind, but is there one industry that would be hit harder than others?
I think it's kind of the backbone of the Canadian economy. It's agriculture, natural resources, and manufacturing, right? Who uses the rails more for freight than those three industries? And they're going to feel it first and foremost, right? As far as kind of goods and things like that, there's probably alternate methods, although they're much more expensive, by, you know, shipping them by boat, you know, around the Panama Canal if you had to. But the fact is, there's really no substitute for moving those agricultural and natural resource products other than by rail. You know, the plane is not really an option. And so they're really going to be the ones to bear the brunt of this the longer it drags on.
It's the second time in just a few months, right, that Canadians have really seen just how reliant our economy is on rail, because it can be easy to forget about it. If you're not directly affected by it, you're just going on your business, doing your day-to-day work, and people don't question how the goods get to where they are or how, you know, things get to the stores. And for the second time in a few months, we're really seeing just how big of an impact a rail disruption can have in this country.
Absolutely. You know, like, you look on a map and you realize that Canada is about, you know, 7,500 kilometers from coast to coast. The backbone of this economy is the rail, and it's partly what built this country. So we are extremely reliant on it when you have a very thinly spread population that goes all the way from one coast to the other. So the fact is that, you know, beyond just passenger rail between the Windsor to Quebec City corridor, freight across this country is kind of what keeps it intact. And that disruption is really unfortunate.
Thanks for your time today. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Anytime.